Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly, the world's longest-running gay and lesbian radio show for the whole family. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink and Laron Landis. And we have a whole crowd in the studio today, our audience. We have somebody filming us because he's working on a graduate thesis on gay media in Texas. And Doc is here filming us because he does, I don't know, all kinds of fakakta things. And we have wonderful guests here today. Andy Smith is with Texas Instruments, and Jennifer Sampson is with United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. Andy is now on the board of United Way. Before we get to you, we do have to mention a couple of things, like kind of the biggest news in a year.
A year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say?
And, you know, my brother-in-law sent us a text and said, "Are you and Danny going to New York now?" And we're like, we kind of laugh, like, no, we don't need to. We're already married. I don't think you can get remarried.
Well, there are some people who have. There was one couple in New York. They're going to get married now. They're saying it'll be their fifth time getting married.
Oh, wow.
Now, you know, frequenters on our show, Louise Young and Vivian Armstrong, were the first Texans to get a civil union in Vermont. They got married in California.
They did.
I don't know if they've been to Vancouver. I know you have.
We've been to Vancouver.
So, you know, you can get another one.
That was enough for us. It's done.
You go till you get it recognized somewhere, right?
Yeah,
right.
You already have the kids.
Yeah.
The other thing that really was big news here in Dallas was on Monday at City Hall, there was a reception and a proclamation. It was Mayor Rawlings' first proclamation honoring LGBT month.
And what was great to that I loved about this was that Mary Soom, our city manager, and as for many who don't know, Dallas is run by the city manager.
Right.
We have a weak mayor system. But she had created this June Pride Month banner that had been hanging in City Hall all month in the main entry. So we had this event in honor of Stonewall, because it's the 42nd anniversary of Stonewall today, mm-hmm. or yesterday.
It was 28th.
28th. That's today.
Yeah. So
today
we had
is the 29th, right. So yesterday. Yeah.
So 42 years later, we have our first annual Pride Month event at Dallas City Hall. Very good stuff.
Great stuff.
I was going to say, of course it was yesterday. I said happy birthday to Todd Camp yesterday. He was born on Stonewall. We have two wonderful guests. Andy Smith, you are with Texas Instruments. And you're just with the gay division of Texas Instruments, right?
Well, not exactly.
Not exactly. Okay. What do you do there?
I'm director of corporate philanthropy, which basically means that I'm responsible for our corporate giving programs as well as our employee engagement programs, which includes volunteerism and our employee giving campaigns, United Way of which is our most important employee giving campaign, as well as the arts and cultural events we put on for our TI employees. This is, for example, this past Sunday, we had our annual TI employee concert at the Dallas Symphony. So we had about 2,000 plus TIers and their families there to listen to a great performance of the DSO led by Maestro Jaap van Zweden.
Now, when you say corporate engagement, that has nothing to do with going to New York.
Right.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you understood that.
Yeah. Although my husband Paul and I have had two weddings, and we may be going to New York for the third. So.
Oh, okay.
So congratulations.
You're one of those multiple marriage people. Where were you married?
Where were the other two?
We had a church wedding in Austin in 1997, mm-hmm. I think. Paul, I hope you're not listening. I didn't get the date right. but then we also went to Toronto in 2004. And when gay marriage is first legalized there.
Another fellow Canadian married person.
And Jennifer, this is your first radio interview as CEO of United Way of Metropolitan Dallas.
That's correct.
You have been in this position for all of 3 days.
This is my third day.
Your third day. A good way to start the day, to get up at 5 in the morning. Come on.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what United Way of Metropolitan Dallas does.
You bet. Our mission is to improve lives in the community permanently, and we do that by focusing on three key areas, education, income, and health. And we've set bold community goals in each of those areas over the last year, and they are in education, we want to prepare 50% more students for success after high school, beyond high school. In income, the financial stability area, we want to move 250,000 individuals up and out of poverty and keep them out of poverty permanently. And in the health area, our goal is to expand community health through expanded access to care, prevention, and healthy behaviors. They're bold goals that were set by community leaders, and we're really looking to create long-lasting change and measurable impact in the community.
Now, this is new, having these three specific areas, isn't it?
It is,
yeah.
Yes.
And before, how did you choose who were the beneficiaries of United Way money?
Yes, so for the first 85 years, you know, United Way, because we have such great corporate relationships in the community and relationships with individuals and other funders, we invested in a group of partner agencies, about 90 agencies that were doing outstanding work in our focus areas of education, income, and health. The focus areas haven't changed. What's changed is our ability to measure the impact of those investments. We invested in great programs with great agencies for over 86 years, but we really weren't able to articulate the return on that investment and share the community progress report back to the donor community. So now that we have measurable goals in each of these areas and key strategies with metrics, agencies can choose to apply for funding by aligning with one of the strategy areas under each of those goals. So it's really a way to provide much more accountability and to show the return on investment and how we're moving the needle in each of those three impact areas.
Do you have any results yet?
Great question.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is the end of our first year of execution of this new competitive grants process, which was, by the way, open this year for the first time. So we invited any 501c3 agency to apply for funding if they could align in one of the three impact areas in one of the strategies within one of those three areas. So this the funding announcements were made about a month ago. And we won't have results on those investments for another year. However, through the grants process that's managed and run by volunteers, they were able to determine best investment by looking at the outcomes and results of those programs that have been in place for quite some time. But we'll be tracking the return within 1 year's time and over the next 10 years, because these are 10-year goals. Our vision is called United 2020, and so we're anxious and eager to share the results of those investments back to the community after this first year and each and every other year following.
So the beneficiaries that were chosen, will they have to reapply after 10 years?
They will have to reapply after 1 year.
After 1 year?
Yes.
Okay.
And our volunteer leaders are looking at the possibility of some multi-year funding in the future. But in this first year, it was a one-year investment process. And it will be open, and we'll encourage agencies to come back each and every year to apply for funding.
One of the things that I think is so great about this new process as well is that coming from a company that really believes very strongly in measurements, and, I mean, we measure everything. And you know,
you sell devices to measure things.
True, we do. Yes, yes. The fact that United Way is working with the University of Texas at Dallas,
yes,
and we're going to have independent third-party measurement on these outcomes, I think should give donors very good confidence on how their dollars are being invested in the community and return that the community is getting on those.
Absolutely.
And that's a builder, though, on donor dollars, too, because you can go back and say for every dollar you give to United Way, it reaches our constituents in these ways.
Right.
You know, it buys X books or whatever, you mm-hmm. know. That's good.
Okay, now one of the things that the reason that Andy is here with Jennifer is because Andy is now on the board of United Way, and he is heading an LGBT initiatives program. What's that about?
Well, we started an effort a year and a half, 2 years ago, I guess, really talking with United Way about is they're moving forward with these United 2020 goals and really working to, I wouldn't say necessarily reinvent the United Way, but it's not your father's United Way, I would say, either. And part of that, I think, is, there's a very large LGBT population in Dallas, as we know. It's seventh largest in the United States. We have lots of folks that are involved in many community activities. But I think that if United Way is going to succeed in their United 2020 goals, that we need the LGBT community to be part of those efforts. And so we began a dialogue about how we could better engage with the LGBT community. United Way has already had such efforts with the African American and Hispanic communities. There's a women's leadership program as well. So this was an effort to begin reaching out and to build a true partnership with the community. And so we can talk more specifics if you want to. I don't want to get into all that now, but I'll let you ask the questions.
Yeah, we'll do that a little bit later in the show. But yeah, how did you actually find Andy?
Andy.
And I'm saying you because this is your third day, and I know that.
Well, Andy has been a longtime United Way volunteer. In fact, he was just recognized at our volunteer appreciation luncheon with the Live United Award because of his efforts to get involved not only with United Way now being on our board as a volunteer, but also within TI. I mean, he's been very active within his company in their efforts to support United Way. So we're thrilled to have a volunteer like Andy serving on our board. I wish we had, you know, more volunteers like Andy, and we're excited about working with him in the upcoming year.
Congratulations,
Andy. I'd like to volunteer Laurent to be our...
sure. As long as I can bring my toddler.
And when you say volunteering at United Way, Andy, what are some of the things that you did at TI that helped United Way?
Well, so at I've been involved with United Way since I lived in Austin. Actually, I started my career working in the nonprofit space, doing fundraising and PR, and one of the agencies I worked for in Austin was Communities and Schools Central Texas, which was a United Way partner agency there. So was involved in that regard. When I came to TI, I became a donor, and then really it was about 4 years ago, I guess, when I started to get more involved in United Way. I think the LGBT partnership effort is one thing that I've been very involved with trying to lead and move forward. At TI specifically, my job allows me the opportunity to help to lead our employee campaign. So that involves working with people across the board at TI, not only in terms of raising money for the campaign, but also mobilizing volunteers. So we there are what are called Days of Caring activities, where teams go out to various United Way agencies and can help do everything from read to the kids to paint a wall, plant some landscaping, whatever, the serve lunch. We've been in the resource center before serving lunch or packing meals there. And then also with serving on the volunteer engagement cabinet, where we've been doing a lot of work to really help take these new 2020 goals into focus and develop a menu of volunteer opportunities for people in the community.
Well, and let me give a good example of one of the things that you did. Several weeks ago, we had on Alice Murray from the Holocaust Museum, and she was talking about the new exhibit that was brought in called Nazi Persecution of Homosexuals from 1933 to 1945. If you want to listen to that show, you can hear it on lambdaweekly.com. It is posted up there.
Or iTunes.
That exhibit was really a grassroots gay and lesbian community effort to bring that exhibit in. And I was working with her, and other people from the community were working with her. The exhibit came in, and it came in 500-pound boxes, and we had to unpack these boxes. And I was down there, but I was working with a whole group from Texas Instruments that Andy had sent down to help us unpack these heavy 64 pieces that we had to screw together, panels that became this wonderful exhibit. And if anybody hasn't seen it, go down to the Holocaust Museum this summer and see it, because it is a wonderful exhibit. Like Alice said, God, it's so depressing. And we said, yes, Alice, it's okay. It's a Holocaust museum. It's okay to be depressing. And it is depressing, but very upsetting. But that's one of the things that Andy has, one of those volunteer opportunities, mm-hmm. One of those wonderful things he said, yeah, go help set up a museum exhibit. And really what we were doing was unpacking these heavy, heavy boxes.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and thank you. And you know something? It was one of those things, they'll be talking about that for a while.
That's good.
Because it was just, when else have you done that? I've never put together a museum exhibit before.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful experience. But
I was surprised to hear that the United Way was even, you know, somewhat affiliated with the GLBT community, because some other large nonprofit organizations that are known nationally haven't always been so kind to our community, like the Salvation Army. Has it always been like that with United Way?
Well, you know, United Way, we're seeking to mirror the community and the diversity within the community. And those we serve by building greater diversity amongst our board and our staff, volunteers, and donors. Internally, our HR policy is to recruit and hire people without regard to race, ethnicity, age, sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression or other differences.
That's wonderful.
Excellent.
And, yeah, and I would say the United Way, it's not a new thing for United Way to say, hey, we like that we want the LGBT community to be involved, but I think it's a more proactive effort that we're undertaking right now. It's also, as far as agencies go, AIDS Arms, which, you know, AIDS is not a gay disease, but it's still, many in our community are affected by the disease.
But the agencies were created by people in the
right,
gay community.
Right, right. But they do serve a product, you know, they have a large LGBT clientele.
Sure.
They've been a United Way partner or service provider for 19 years, and the Resource Center of Dallas, which many people may not realize, Resource Center is a United Way agency. They have been a partner, or excuse me, service provider for more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so in that regard, it's not new. Now, we have, our efforts have helped to make some changes with United Way. When we started this effort, one of the first things we talked about was, you know, before you can go out and talk to someone and ask them to be involved, make sure your own house is in order. And what Jennifer just spoke about in terms of the EEO statement, that wasn't there before. And so doing some education internally with United Way, it wasn't a matter that they were opposed to it. It was just a matter of the fact that no one had ever raised the issue before. Mm-hmm. And so Rob Puckett, who serves on our committee, championed that effort. Mm-hmm. And worked with the HRC Corporate Equality Index guidelines and worked with the United Way staff to ensure that we had good guidelines in place for employment policies.
And I can tell you the story back there. This had to have been, if AIDS Arms is 19 years an agency of
That's
yours.
That's correct.
This had to be before that. So we're mm-hmm. talking a long time ago, and this doesn't reflect anything. Jennifer, you were not CEO of United Way at the time, right? No. 3 days? No. I went downtown to speak to the CEO at the time, along with Deb Elder, who was president of Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance. So this was back, she was president, I was vice president, so this had to be 92, 91, something like that. And we were talking about the possibility of one of the AIDS agencies possibly becoming a United Way agency. And I guess they were talking to us because at the time, recognizing the gay and lesbian community, there was money there. There were people in corporations that were refusing to give to United Way because United Way was giving to places like the Boy Scouts, which had, you know, which was arguing for discrimination, and there wasn't the agency there for people to really feel, okay, well, they're giving to our side too. And it was, yeah, I don't know. But apparently a year or two later, that's when AIDS Arms became an agency, and that's when United Way started opening up. So it is almost 20 years that United Way started opening to the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then Resource Center later in the 90s became an agency. And this year, those two combined received more than $1 million.
That's
from
correct.
United Way.
That's
a lot of money. That's a lot,
that is
of,
great.
A lot of money.
And I also want to point out that, you know, there are many agencies that we serve and fund that serve the LGBT community, mm-hmm. just like they serve the entire
Anybody
community.
Else. Right.
Right. Anyone else.
Right. And now it's common to have sexual orientation, gender identity in your non-discrimination policies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In 1991, it wasn't.
No.
And most of those agencies didn't serve.
Well, and beyond just the nonprofit space, it was also not common for businesses to have those policies in place either.
Right.
But you look now at the top corporate donors to United Way of Metropolitan Dallas, and there may be a couple of exceptions. I don't have the latest list, but the Texas Instruments and JCPenney and others all have great policies on
sure.
LGBT in their workplace.
We're going to talk more about that. Our guests are Andy Smith and Jennifer Sampson. They're from United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
KNON presents the Sunday Blues Social on Sunday, July 10th at Poor David's Pub. This is a free event starring the Silvertones, the Two Tones, and Sonny Colley. Red Hot and Blue will be selling barbecue to raise funds to help keep the blues on your favorite community radio station, KNON 89.3 Blue FM. Come hungry and get a plate of great barbecue with pulled pork, barbecue chicken, grandma's signature potato salad, downright addictive barbecue beans, and collard greens. KNON's Blue Lisa will be the hostess. It's an early show with doors at 5 p.m., music at 5:15 p.m. Poor David's Pub is located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. A KNON Sunday Blues Social, a free event coming Sunday, July 10th with the Silvertones, the Two Tones, Sonny Colley, and great barbecue from Red Hot and Blue. Come on out and socialize with real blues lovers and KNON. It's free, and the barbecue sales support KNON. We will see you there. If you're going on summer vacation but aren't planning on taking your old car with you, why not donate it to the KNON Vehicle Donation Program? Just call 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll arrange everything from picking up the vehicle to providing the necessary paperwork. Your donation will help support KNON. 877-KNON-AUTO or on the web at knon.org.
And thanks Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERImaging.com.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with Patty Fink and Laron Landis. Our guests today are from United Way of Metropolitan Dallas, Andy Smith and Jennifer Sampson. Before we get back to them, this really was big this week about
huge news.
Yeah. So is the same thing going to happen here as what happened in California, Patty?
Oh, not anytime soon. But, you know, we mentioned this several times in past shows about Nate Silver, who pretty much nailed it in the 2008 election. And he predicts Texas will have marriage equality in 2018. So we've got a lot of work to do in the next 7 years. But by New York kind of, you know, moving through this process very quickly after having a bill turned down by the legislature there 2 years ago, this is great stuff. And what's so interesting, we were just talking in the break about, this came up through the legislature, which has only happened in Vermont, New Hampshire, and Connecticut,
right,
where the in New York now. Where marriage equality
California
arose
also
from an effort to pass a law to make marriage equality the law in the state versus a court decision.
California, but it was...
California also, but the governor vetoed
Donald vetoed it twice. Twice it made it through the entire legislature, and twice he vetoed it.
Does anyone here know, in California apparently it's really easy to get something on the ballot, just a simple
New York
majority.
Doesn't have that kind of...
They don't have the same thing?
No.
Okay. Now, I know in Massachusetts, it's like really hard, which is
New
a good
York
thing.
New York doesn't have that kind of nonsense.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Right. This should stick.
This should stick. It was a nail biter. I was up all night watching the arguments, and it came down to 33-29. So, I mean,
it would take another legislature to repeal this.
Gotcha.
And a conservative governor to sign it. So.
And I think it's interesting, too, that they predict economically that this new law that takes effect in 30 days after it was signed, will bring in about $184 million to the state of New York, and about $440 million to the city of New York.
One of the things
in
that Cuomo,
the next year, which is amazing to me.
One
that's
of the
a lot of
Cuomo was campaigning on was he was saying we have to keep New York competitive. We need this law, and who is he competing against? Well, New Jersey, that doesn't have this. And so if a company is thinking of moving across the river to New Jersey, it's like, well, we can move there, but your employees won't be covered.
Right. And that's in addition to the whole fact that thing to do.
But they're competing with Massachusetts, which isn't far.
So what was important about this was that more people are covered by gay marriage now in one state than all of the other
states combined.
Five states and District of Columbia put together. 2 million more people than...
Aaron and I were kind of laughing because you have this, you see, you got this New England way over here and kind of down the East Coast, Eastern United States, and yet Iowa.
Right. Right. So are you guys going to go to New York?
Well, we could. I don't know if we're going to. We're really pulling out for Texas marriage.
You wait for Texas. Okay.
Yep, you and Candy. You and Candy Markham, in other words.
Well, we're native Texans, so it's a, you know, I want to see it here.
We're native Texans also. We just didn't want to wait that long.
It's called Not Gonna Happen. Our guests today are Andy Smith and Jennifer Sampson. They're from United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. And Andy, we were just talking before the break a little bit about companies that have come so far since the early 90s in their own policies, whereas it still is legal to just fire somebody because they're gay or lesbian or transgender. Right. You can still do that.
Not in the city of Dallas.
Except, well.
Not in the city of Fort Worth.
That's true. That's true. It actually is not legal here. But we do have non-discrimination policies in the city, but $500 fine. You know, so you pay it. But companies do have those policies because they want to hire the best people, and the way you hire the best people is you say, we're just going to judge you based on the work that you do and not who you are. We don't care who you are. Texas Instruments actually was a pioneer in that. Part of it was our friend Louise Young's Big Mouth.
Louise was huge in an effort.
Louise Young's Big Mouth. We love you, Louise.
Her persistent efforts.
Okay, Louise Young's persistence. He's so diplomatic. I need to learn some of that, you know? But Louise's efforts.
I ran for office once, David, so he learned that.
That's right.
What did it take to really get equality in companies like Texas Instruments? Was there resistance to it at a company that I can't even imagine them being resistant to something like that now?
You know, I wasn't at TI when I came to TI in September of 1997, and I was a contractor with our public relations firm, Terminal McLean, a year before that, working on the TI accounts. I feel like I've been there 15 years, officially 14. Paul got a job at TI in January of 96. They had already adopted sexual orientation in the EEO statement by then, and I've only had a chance to talk to people and see some videos that were filmed about the history of the TI Pride Network and its efforts. Where there was a resistance? Oh, I'm sure perhaps some people were, but my understanding of the situation is really it's just like with in society as a whole, it's when you know someone, and when you come out and you know someone, then you're more apt to see them as a person and not as some stereotype or whatever. And I think the team led by Louise and others that talked to our executives about the fact that this is not about beliefs or whatever. This is about treating people equally in the workplace, and look at the productivity that you're losing, and really made the business case for it. It was a no-brainer for them.
Now, I don't think I've ever described her this way, but I think one of the things that about Louise that they looked at was they said, oh, this is one of our most brilliant engineers.
Well, I think it certainly helps to have a very productive employee and well-respected employee to do that. But, you know, there were others who also sat down with management. There were straight allies who were key to this effort, and that, again, made the business case for it.
I'm not saying that it was a one-person effort.
Oh, yeah, no, I really, yeah.
But I'm saying when you have somebody who's so highly placed in the company and really is part of your creative team that is responsible for your being this successful,
right.
It's hard to say, oh, but she's a lesbian.
Right.
Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah. And you think about, gosh, what would happen to our company if this person left?
They sold her off.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before the show, and we talked with Louise about this. But it was such a great story that, you know, TI sold off her division, and she was suddenly with Raytheon, and she'd start all over. You know, build this effort within Raytheon.
And she did it there too.
100% Corporate Equality Index score with HRC. So kudos out there to Louise Young and TI.
The story
and Raytheon.
There was what she did was she marched herself into the president's office of Raytheon and said, "We have these at TI, and we're not giving them up." period, mm-hmm. looked him in the face and said, unless you can give me some good reason that I should be discriminated mm-hmm. against, with a list of other people that they were yeah. getting.
But, you know, sexual orientation was the first thing to be added to our EEO statement, and a few years later we got gender identity expression. We had domestic partner benefits before that, and I was involved in those two efforts. And I've got to say, you know, I've found our management and our executives to be extremely open-minded and understanding on this issue.
So you had domestic partner benefits before it was
yes.
included?
We had
as non-discrimination.
No, I'm sorry. We had sexual orientation, 96, and then okay. partner benefits, I believe, came in 2000, mm-hmm. and we got gender identity expression.
A couple
five,
of years later is when...
506.
Yeah. That makes sense. Which, again, you were
which
one
got
of
us
the
100%.
First companies that, that included that.
Yeah.
Because it's only in the last few years that mm-hmm. that's included as mm-hmm. something separate. What are some of the things that you get with non-discrimination? You mentioned domestic partnership benefits. And that is if you have a partner who needs coverage.
Right.
Health
coverage. Well, that was a separate issue. You know, the EEO statement has...
And it is
right,
separate.
Right.
Yeah. But what when we're talking about domestic partnership benefits, what are those benefits?
Health benefits, health insurance.
Uh-huh.
So,
and
for example...
That's the main thing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And like in my company, we have, for example, that's extended to bereavement.
Right.
If your partner or your partner's yeah. parent or sibling, whoever, whatever that would apply to a spouse in your bereavement
right.
policy... applies to, you know, partners,
yeah.
So that, you know, if something were to happen to, you know, someone in Aaron's family, I'm able to go and use bereavement time,
right.
you know, 3 days or whatever it might be, you know, to attend a funeral or whatever.
Exactly.
And that's important, too.
Exactly. You know? It is, as well as if you think about the adoption, for example, or birth, whatever, that gay employees, LGBT employees are treated just as equally as straight employees are mm-hmm. in that regard, which mm-hmm. is, you know, it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, we went through that with Laurent when his baby was born. They had to go out of state in order to have a surrogate in a state where they could then put both dads on
mm-hmm.
the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And in Texas, you can't do that kind of second parent adoption very easily. You can do it, but not easily here. If you don't find the right judge the first time, you can't just go judge shopping in Texas. So
right.
You're excluded. So they went to another state, mm-hmm. and it was a matter of both of them taking off to go for the birth of the baby, and they had to drive because you can't fly with a newborn baby that's 4 days old, and drive the baby back from Maryland. So there's that kind of thing that you don't even think about
right.
as being so discriminatory.
But, you know, the interesting thing is, too, is I think these days it goes beyond just the LGBT employees themselves. If you think about take the marriage debate, for example. If you look at the percent, I saw a poll of it, I believe it was overall New Yorkers supported marriage equality by 54%. But 58%.
Yeah.
But those from 18 to 34 years old were 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just a matter of time.
Well, and I think that the same holds true for just overall treatment equally in the workplace, period, which is people that are coming out of colleges now and going to work for a company. If you want to recruit the best and the brightest, be they LGBT or otherwise, you better have a very open workplace. You need to make sure that you have good employment practices in place and you're also a good corporate citizen and doing a lot of things or these millennials won't choose you. And same with the nonprofit agencies as well. Thinking out of way, recognize that. To attract the best and the brightest, make sure we have good employment practices in place. And also, if you want to have volunteers involved and you want to have donors involved, make sure that you are walking the walk as well as talking the talk.
And it's beyond just having it in the policy. I mean, it needs to be a culture.
Exactly.
That from the top
that's
down.
That's very true.
That says you're welcome here and we
yes.
want you to be here. Because a lot of people don't come out. They hide who they are. And it
right.
takes an enormous amount of energy.
Oh, it does.
To work that.
Yeah.
I mean, just to keep that going. You know, and if you can feel comfortable, then you're going to be your most productive.
And 20 blah, blah, blah years ago, when we went to speak to the CEO of United Way at the time, that was actually our point, that give us an agency. You have whatever it was, 100 agencies or whatever that you donated. Give us one that people can say, this is the one that I really want to help. And, mm-hmm. and I'll help all of them, but yeah, Resource Center is part of that mix. Yeah. You've just added another one, actually, and that's Brian's House.
That's correct.
And when I say another one that began within the gay and lesbian community right. and now basically doesn't serve the gay and lesbian community at all. But I think we all have an affinity for Brian's House because of its roots. Brian's House is an agency that works with children. We're trying to figure out now who exactly they help. Mm-hmm. We were saying before the show, Andy, you think it's just all terminally ill children.
Yep, that's Andy's understanding of it. But
it started out as children with HIV, and then it expanded to children of parents with HIV who needed
correct.
A place to live. And there was a house in Oak Lawn, the next block over from the mm-hmm. Resource Center. It was special medical care for these children who needed medical care. And again, that's what Brian's House still does. And we still love these people who, Jennifer, you just looked them up on your phone.
Yeah, well, no, I was just going to say that they were originally a provider of services to youth that were impacted by HIV
yeah.
and AIDS.
Yeah.
But they've expanded their services as better medicine has led to greatly reduced rates of HIV transmission from mother to child. They now provide early childhood programming for children with a wide spectrum of all medical disabilities.
Yeah.
So it's not even terminal.
Yes.
It's,
correct.
Yeah.
It's children who need that constant medical care,
yeah.
right.
but in a home setting. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be in a hospital setting.
It's a great agency.
And they're not over in Oak Lawn anymore. They're down a few blocks away over in the medical district mm-hmm. now, somewhere near, I think it's near St. Paul's Hospital now.
And you're the United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. So what's your scope?
Yes. We serve a four-county region, so Dallas County, Collin County, Rockwall, and Southern Denton County, which is the Louisville ISD footprint.
Mm. So there's another United Way in
for those horrible
Fort Worth.
People in Fort Worth.
there's another United Way of Metropolitan Tarrant County.
Yeah. Well, this yeah. may be a silly question, but we have no silly questions, right?
Oh, sure we do.
Is there coverage of United Way across the country? I mean, is every all areas of the country, are they covered by some sort of United Way organization?
Absolutely. There are over 1,100 United Ways across the country.
Oh. So no matter where you live, there's a United Way agency that mm-hmm. covers, there's serves your area
right. yes.
That you can volunteer at and contribute
right. internationally
to.
As well, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, we're expanding our scope.
Oh, really? How many countries is
oh.
United Way
oh.
in now? Do you know?
I don't recall. I saw the information last week at a meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't recall how many countries, but I can tell you there's a very robust effort in India. Also looking at some in Latin America, as well as in Eastern Europe, and they are pretty much around the globe, but not every single country. But the priority countries, really, India is at the top of the list.
Huh. Isn't that interesting? And why is that? Because of their growing economy?
Growing economy and the need there.
Hmm.
And corporations that have a presence across
true.
The
yeah.
globe want their employees to have access to United Way yeah. wherever they are.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Sure, because Texas Instruments is a
great
in
example.
How many countries?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head on that one. More than 10.
We're yeah. going to have Quandy back and have a quiz.
We're going
we'll have to. Have a quiz
I wasn't expecting all the TI questions.
Right.
I didn't prep on that part.
We're going to have to, yeah, because I can't have this. How does somebody get involved with United Way?
Well, we run workplace campaigns across the community, and so we have a lot of employees within the workplace who are involved in those workplace campaigns who want to volunteer. They give their financial resources, they give their time and talent, and in most cases, we've expanded our call to action. Our call to action, the Live United call to action, is to give financial resources, to advocate for change, and to volunteer. And so we have engaged in some public policy efforts as well with corporations. So we encourage anyone to get involved with United Way, get involved with an agency, get involved with a volunteer project, and, of course, give, because we are trying to raise money to invest in these great programs so we can achieve these bold goals.
And we're going to talk more with Jennifer Sampson, who is the new CEO of United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. And, when she took this position, she said, you know, the first show I have to go on in Dallas is Lambda Weekly, and we thank you for that. And Andy Smith, who is with Texas Instruments and a new board member heading up the LGBT initiatives for United Way. And that was to get into, okay, how can we do our fundraising better? And we're going to talk about that right after this.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
KNON 89.3 FM is broadcasting Democracy Now!, a national daily radio news program covering today's news and issues. Democracy Now! Is hosted by Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, broadcast worldwide on over 900 stations, pioneering the largest community media collaboration in the country. Democracy Now! Can be heard on KNON Mondays through Thursdays from 8 to 9 a.m. Not the same old news heard everywhere else. It's news of the people for the people. Democracy Now!, Monday through Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on KNON 89.3 FM.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Patty Fink. I had a couple of announcements. DFW BiNet is celebrating LGBT Pride Month with a mixer tomorrow from 6 to 9 in the Great Room Champagne Room at Allume on Cedar Springs. And many thanks to Allume for donating this space to them, they said. Frozen margarita machine and light snacks are available. Elizabeth Pax will be performing with a little drag, a little burlesque, and lots of fun, and everybody is welcome to join BiNet today at Whole Foods on Lemon Avenue. Anything you buy, I think you have to tell them that you are going, that you're there for their promotion, but a percentage of your purchase goes to the Lone Star Ride.
5%?
5% goes to the Lone Star Ride.
Hey, quiz answer. That was a great question.
I knew that. I'm riding the ride, so I knew that one.
Yeah.
Oh, were you riding the ride?
Yeah.
All right, so am I. So I will try
points
not to...
Points for Andy.
I will try not to crash into you. Last year I had a real bad wipeout. First time I ever did that. But we're talking a little bit about fundraising, United Way. We need to learn how to do better fundraising here, don't we, Patty?
We do.
What are some of the things that you do that have made United Way such a well-established fundraising organization, such a successful fundraising organization? How do we get in on it? We write a grant. We're going to, because we do lots of education here, despite this show. So what are some of the things that you do?
Well, I mean, I think that the most important thing is to have a compelling vision and connect with people in the community who connect with your vision and have passion about your mission. And so, you know, there are a lot of people in the community that want to change lives permanently by focusing on education, income, and health. And so we reach out to those individuals through our corporate workplace campaigns. We have a tremendous amount of support in the corporate community. TI is a great example. There are many others. And we are also reaching out to individuals and trying to secure major gifts with individuals, foundations. We're looking into writing more grants, governmental grants. And so I think it's about developing relationships with people and connecting people with their passion.
See, we're really bad at that because after people are on our show, they refuse to come back. And I don't know if it's you, Patty. I think it might be just...
Maybe it's me.
It might be you. But, okay, so developing relationships. And how do you then not just develop the relationship, but then ask for the big bucks, which is what we need here on this show, the big bucks?
Well, I think you've got to find out what people are interested in. And again, I really think that developing that relationship is key, and it's first. And once you develop the relationship and you find out what people are passionate about and what they care about, you can connect them. And, you know, at United Way, we connect them to one of our impact areas. We connect them to the programs that we fund in those areas. And it's a natural fit. But again, I think it's developing the relationship, finding out what people are passionate about, and connecting them to mission-based work that resonates.
Hmm. Now, you probably have a lot of providers out there that are recipients of United Way money, but what does the gamut run? We know that you're in your three areas of focus. That could be almost anything. I mean, education and advocacy and income,
right?
Those three areas?
Right.
So you do, like, food programs. Do you do, like, there are agencies out there that do job training and
absolutely
all that kind of stuff to mm-hmm. help lift people up?
Absolutely. In the education area, we have six key strategies that really, from birth to helping kids get ready to graduate from high school and move on to that next step. So, you know, we connect programs to each of those six strategies. In income, we have three key strategies. You know, job training, providing more access to jobs, and financial education to help families, you know, develop more equity. And in the health area, it's access to care, prevention, and healthy behaviors. So key strategies in each of those areas. We made investments in 78 organizations in the current year that align with each of those strategies.
Mm-hmm. So if you just wanted, if you didn't have a big bucks to give, you could still volunteer through one of those agencies and probably find a passion
through one of those agencies
somewhere,
or volunteer through United Way.
Right.
There are some great opportunities there with many different committees you can volunteer on. We're also working to align volunteer efforts with the new agencies that have been funded. So the volunteer committee I serve on, we're sort of leading that effort, and we'll be looking to see how developing volunteer opportunities both an individual, family, workplace team, a one-time opportunity or ongoing opportunity that would be, you know, with an agency, let's say, but it's going to be sort of broader than that. Just it wouldn't be one the agency develops, and try to help match up volunteer hours with the dollars that were funded, because money is great, but you have to have people power as well to really make a difference in these three impact areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing that you do is some advocacy. And one of the things that United Way got involved with last year was the bullying effort, or actually more the anti-bullying. You were against, right?
Yes, against bullying.
You were against bullying. Okay. What is it that United Way did?
Well, we met with Dennis Coleman, who is Executive Director of Equality Texas, right before the beginning of the session. And one of the things we talked about was, again, this whole effort of how we can work better, how United Way can help support the LGBT community. And one of the things we talked about was the anti-bullying legislation, which matched perfectly with United Way's focus on education. Because a kid can't succeed in school if they're afraid of being harassed or beaten up, or which would lead to them dropping out of school, or, you know, God forbid, committing suicide, which we saw so much of the last few years. And United Way took... We got information on the bill and worked with the advocacy committee at United Way, and they sent a letter of support for the bill to Equality Texas so they could use on behalf when they were down in Austin talking about passing it.
And that's exciting stuff, because we all know, you know, a kid that is focused on how do I get into the hallway and down to my next class without getting beaten up is not paying attention to X and Y in the algebra.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, they're not doing that. That's very cool stuff. And we did succeed in getting an anti-bullying bill.
Yes.
Actually, two. Because there was the major omnibus bill, which were several bills that were put together, which define bullying, which define what administrators, teachers have to do. Mm-hmm. But then there was a second bill that kind of slipped through at the end. The bullying bill, by the way, passed unanimously in the Senate. Unanimously. Which is amazing.
In the Texas legislature in 2011, that's pretty amazing.
It was. But apparently, despite who some of these people are, they understood exactly what you said.
Right.
Kids can't learn if bullying is going on in school. It's not good for any of the kids.
No.
But the other one is a suicide prevention bill, which creates funding and some programs for kids to go into these programs if a teacher suspects that one of the kids are prone to suicide. they can get them into a program? Because right now you suspect the kid is prone to suicide. What do you do? Well, I don't know.
You know, that was, I think that advocacy effort, I was really proud of United Way for doing that. Mm-hmm. I think it really helps to demonstrate the commitment United Way has made to not just going to the LGBT community, but really being a part of it. Mm-hmm. And there have been other instances as well. We had a great contingent of United Way folks participating in the Alan Ross Freedom Parade last year. They were at the sent some folks to the Out and Equal Summit in L.A., and I think intend to do so as well here in Dallas this year. Participated in the LGBT Job Fair that the Resource Center and the Chamber sponsored a few months ago. So mm-hmm. just a few examples of really, I think, demonstrating their commitment.
And this gets put your TI hat back on. What is Out and Equal?
Out and Equal is an organization that's headed up by Paul von Oppenfeld locally, who is my husband, and I had to make that plug for him. But it is a national organization that, the way he's described before, it's sort of the workplace equivalent of HRC. They really work to do education programs and work to bring workplace equality to different companies. And there is an affiliate that is local, the DFW affiliate, made up of many representatives of many local companies, and they will have their international summit here in Dallas in October, the last week of October. About 3,000 people will be here. It'll be all kinds of workshops, both for straight allies as well as LGBT people in the workplace, for HR professionals and others that touch on various aspects of how to have an equitable workplace.
And we need to have Paul on just before that conference. Send right. along the message
maybe
that we'll
be
scheduling.
You could come back then and we could quiz you.
Okay.
You think?
Okay.
That would be a good time.
Yeah,
you have till October to work on it.
I'll do that.
Okay.
We'll do all those kinds. Okay, so if somebody wants to get involved, if you work for a large company, chances are your company has a United Way campaign. Would you say that's true, that most large companies do have some kind of a...
Most do. In fact, most do.
Yeah. If you work for a small company or work for yourself, how do you get involved?
Well, I would encourage anyone who wants to get involved to reach out to us. Reach out to me personally. Mm-hmm. Go to our website, www.unitedwaydallas.org, and we'll provide folks. We'll come out and talk to you about how to run a workplace campaign and best practices around running a workplace campaign. Or if you're an individual who wants to get involved, you know, we have opportunities for individuals as well, and would love to share more of our story with people in the community. That's why we're here today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We just have a couple of minutes left. I want to go back to your areas of concentration, because that is something that's new. Is that something a lot of other United Ways have concentrated on? Is that a United Way overall thing that you're doing, or is that a Dallas thing?
Well, our national organization, United Way Worldwide, has really put a stake in the ground and identified education, income, or financial stability, and health as the three focus areas for our national effort, because their hope is that we can coordinate efforts across the country and measure our collective success. But every United Way is independent and autonomous within a community with their own local board of directors that govern that organization and really tailor their focus areas to their individual community. So in Dallas, I'm pleased to say that, you know, we were focused on education, income, and health before this national direction really came down. We've been focused on education, income, and health now for over 5 or 6 years. And I hope that other communities across the country do move to these three focus areas because, again, the best way for us to demonstrate the results that we're making with our financial investments, with our volunteer efforts, and with our advocacy efforts is if we're all narrowed and focusing on those three key areas.
And so if you're working with, you know, United Way in the Dallas, you know, greater Dallas area, those dollars, that time, that talent, that treasure is going to stay here in North Texas.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what a great thing. You know, your time and your dollars are going to stay here and, mm-hmm. and help people that mm-hmm. we live around right here in North Texas.
That's right.
Anything that you're looking for new? Any agencies that haven't applied? And I'm not looking for a specific one, but in certain areas, like you've gotten stronger in over the last decade in helping people with HIV. Any other areas that you see new that you'd kind of, because you've had days of experience doing this now as the CEO since Monday, that you'd like to see more of?
I will say that, this year we didn't see as many grants and applications in the financial stability area as we had hoped, in that financial education, job training area. And so, you know, we're looking and analyzing currently some of the gaps in other areas, and hope that, you know, we can reach out to the community when we execute next year's process and encourage more agencies to apply for funding in those areas where we didn't have as many proposals as we had hoped.
And I would say, too, for organizations and for your listeners, if you're on a board of a nonprofit or work for a nonprofit, especially one that's serving a primarily LGBT audience or clientele, that you look at the three impact areas and you look at the strategies under those impact areas and see if there might be a good alignment there. Under education and science and math and others are certainly, I know there's some agencies in our community working on those. And I would, no promises can be made, of course, but at least consider applying for United Way funds, and which the process will be opening up, what, Jennifer, in a month or so?
Yeah, in August we're going to kick off next year's process. So here we go again. We're excited about it.
And we're out of time. I want to thank you, Andy Smith, who's from Texas Instruments and on the board of United Way of Metropolitan Dallas, and Jennifer Sampson is the new CEO of United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. See, that wasn't so bad for your first radio interview.
Thank you.
And good luck on your fourth day.
Thank you very much.
Day.
Thank
and
you.
And
all the way through the weekend.
Thank you, Brad.
And this is the part of our program where our producer, Thomas Pearson, comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.
Thank you for listening to the KNON Morning Line. We'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.